ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So I was asked to speak about the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srila Rupa Goswami, which are described in the 19th chapter of Madhya Lila. So we will chant the verse number 167. Anya abhilashita sunyam jnana karma adi anavritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhaktihi uttama anya bilasita shunya jnana karma janavritam anukulyena krishna no Shilanam Bhaktiruttama Anyavilashita Shunyam Jnanakarma Janavritam Anukulyena Krishnano Shilanam Bhaktiruttama
Anyavilashita Shunyam
Anyabhilashita shunyam. Without desires other than those for the service of Lord Krishna. Or without material desires. Such as those for meat eating, illicit sex, gambling, and addiction to intoxicants. Jnana. By the knowledge of the philosophy of the monist Mayavadis. Karma, by fruitive activities. Adi, by artificially practicing detachment. By the mechanical practice of yoga. By studying the Sankhya philosophy. And so on. Anavritam, not covered. Anukulyena, favorable. Krishna anushilanam, cultivation of service in relationship to Krishna. Bhaktihi uttama, first class devotional service. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. When first-class devotional service develops, one must be devoid of all material desires, knowledge obtained by monistic philosophy, and fruitive action. The devotee must constantly serve Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. Purport. This verse is also found in Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11. As we can understand from the Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants everyone to think of Him always. Man mana bhavamad bhaktaha. Everyone should become His devotee, not the devotee of a demigod. Everyone should engage in His devotional service, including archana, deity worship in the temple. Man mana bhavamad bhaktaha mam yaji mam namaskuru. Everyone should offer obeisances from moment to moment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are the desires of the Supreme Lord, and one who fulfills His desires favorably is actually a pure devotee. Krishna wants everyone to surrender unto Him, and devotional service means preaching this gospel all over the world. The Lord says openly in the Bhagavad Gita, Nacha tasman manusyesu kaschin me priya krittama. One who preaches the gospel of the Bhagavad Gita for the benefit of all is most dear to Krishna. The Bhagavad Gita is spoken by the Lord so that human society can be perfectly organized from all angles of vision, politically, socially, economically, philosophically, and religiously. From any point of view, human society can be reformed by the Krishna consciousness movement. Therefore, one who spreads this philosophy of Krishna consciousness for the benefit of all conditioned souls in the universe is perfect in pure devotional service. The criterion is that a devotee must know what Krishna wants him to do. This understanding can be achieved through the medium of a spiritual master who is a bona fide representative of Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami advises, Adau Gurvashrayam. One who is serious in wanting to render pure devotional service to the Lord must take shelter of a spiritual master who comes in the disciplic succession from Krishna. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshaya vidu. Without accepting a bona fide spiritual master coming in the disciplic succession, one cannot find out the real purpose of devotional service. Therefore, one has to accept the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and agree to be directed by him. The first business of a pure devotee is to satisfy his spiritual master, whose only business is to spread Krishna consciousness. And if one can satisfy the spiritual master, Krishna is automatically satisfied. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasada. This is the success of devotional service. This is the meaning of the word anukulyen, that is favorable devotional service to the Lord. A pure devotee has no plans other than those of the Lord's service. He is not interested in attaining success in mundane activities. He simply wants success in the progress of devotional service. For a devotee, there cannot be worship of others or demigod worship. A pure devotee does not engage himself in such a pseudo-devotional service. He is interested only in satisfying Krishna. If one lives only for the satisfaction of Krishna, it does not matter whether he belongs to this order of life or that order of life. One's only business should be to satisfy Krishna. This process is completely manifest in the activities of the Krishna consciousness movement. It has been actually proved that the entire world can accept devotional service without failure. One simply has to follow the instructions of the representative of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki anya bilasita sunyam jnana karmadana vritam anukulyena krishna nushilanam bhakti ruttamam. When first class devotional service develops, one must be devoid of all material desires, knowledge obtained by monistic philosophy, and fruitive action. The devotee must constantly serve Krishna favorably as Krishna desires.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Mutare Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Desha Tarine Vancha Kaupataro Descha Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
So first of all, I would beg permission from His Holiness Devamrita Maharaj Jananda Prabhu and other senior devotees to be able to speak. And after that, I can start. I was asked to speak on this very essential and important topic in the view of upcoming Gaura Purnima, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Srila Rupa Goswami. We know that Rupa Goswami was the closest and the most important associate of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya specifically invested him with the power to spread Krishna consciousness. His initial desire and his main mission of coming to this world, besides the internal reasons for this, was to spread Krishna consciousness movement. He wanted to make this very clear, because this is Yuga Dharma, because this is the only way for salvation in this age of Kali. But he also had some other business to do. Therefore, he very carefully have chosen the best people and empowered them to perform this task. And six Goswamis of Vrindavana were the best representatives who came here on his order to give the humanity this precious gift of Krishna consciousness. And this act of empowerment has taken place in Prayag, Allahabad, before Srila Rupa Goswami came here in Vrindavan for the first time. For 10 days, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in a secluded place at Dashashvamedha Ghat in Prayag, was instructing him in the intricacies of devotional service. When he finished his instructions, he said to him, "I gave to you the outline." Actually, his instructions are very brief. He only chalked out the whole outline of the realm of devotional service. And then he told him that now you have to meditate on my instructions. And with the help of Krishna from within the heart, you have to elaborate on these points and to describe it in all details. You have to fill up the gaps which are still there. So in the 90th chapter of Madhya Lila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, this outline is beautifully given by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. And I have chosen this verse, which is the most essential verse of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, to speak a few words on this. We only have a few minutes left. So basically, what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted, he wanted to establish devotional service in such a way that it is available for everyone. He himself was a spiritual genius. He was filled with transcendental bhava, and his emotions were coming from him as a fountainhead. He was just, you know, bubbling with these emotions. And this is the essence of spiritual life which he wanted to prove. But he also wanted to chalk out the path for us to follow. Because if he would establish the devotional service on the foundation of his emotions, it would last for some time. Those devotees who would see his example would be inspired to follow his footsteps and would try to imitate his emotions or would try to do something. But he didn't want cheap imitations. He wanted to establish devotional service, first of all, on the firm basis of the scriptures, and that was the specific task which he gave to Srila Rupa Goswami. He explained to him the whole structure of the practice of devotional service, but he also told him, you do it on the basis of Shastra. Whatever you do have to be firmly based on Shastra. We know there are so many different bhakti movements or branches of bhakti movements. And so many of these branches are not really established on the basis of Shastra. One of the most prominent nowadays branches of so-called bhakti is Swaminarayan Sampradaya. And they don't study Shastra. You go to their bookshop. There is no Bhagavad Gita even there. You cannot even find Bhagavad Gita in their shops. They do follow Swaminarayan, who was a bhakti, who was firmly following Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, who was giving discourses on Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. But his followers somehow or other misconstrued his teachings. So first point of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to establish bhakti on the firm basis of Shastra to prove that all the emotions which are there, which he manifested, is not just concoction. Sometimes we can see all these emotions being manifest by different people, but unless it is established on the basis of the Shastra, we cannot know for sure whether it's spiritual emotions or not. So this is initial or starting point of the whole teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even while instructing Rupa Goswami, he would be quoting many, many Shastric quotes to explain how bhakti is the highest achievement of humanity. It's not just sentimental kind of attitude which one develops through some mental imbalance. Like Sachimata, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came from East Bengal, she saw that he has become a little crazy. And the doctor said that the airs are disarrayed in his head. That's why he is manifesting bhakti. But the point of his teaching is that it's not imbalance of the airs in the head. It's a real result of our development of spiritual process, which is firmly established in the ancient Shastras. It's not concoctions. Sometimes, of course, we say that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a revolutionary. He gave so many things which were not there. Like today, when I saw how Devamrita Maharaj was jumping in the kirtan, I was actually enjoying this beautiful scene of his jumping in the kirtan. I remembered another scene from Chaitanya Bhagavata when King Prataparudra, for the first time in his life, saw this kirtan of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. When the devotees of Lord Chaitanya came to Jagannath Puri, then King Prataparudra saw this kirtan, this Prem Kirtan of Lord Chaitanya. And King Prataparudra, even though he was the king of the most holy place in the whole of India, he was amazed to see this scene. And he asked Sarvabhauma Dattacharya, what is this? What kind of worship it is? What kind of sadhana it is? I've never seen this before. And King Prataparudra told him, this is Chaitanya Srishti, which literally means this is invention of Lord Chaitanya. He invented it. He introduced it. This is his innovation. This is his addition to the practice, which has never been seen before. But all these innovations, again, have the foundation in the Shastra. And when Lord Chaitanya started speaking about bhakti, his first point was that it is established in the ancient scriptures, in the Shastras. And his second point was that despite the fact that it is so firmly and so clearly established in the Shastras, it's very difficult to achieve. He starts his teaching to Rupa Goswami by explaining how rare bhakti is. He says there are 8,400,000 forms of life. This Chaurasya lakh form. That 8,400,000 forms of life is there. And out of this, some of They are movable, some of immovable. The consciousness is hardly developed. Out of this 8,400,000, only 400,000 is human forms of life. Out of 400,000 human forms of life, only few people follow Shastra. He starts, again, his establishment of bhakti, saying that only few follow Shastra, and of those who follow Shastra, only few who really follow Shastra. Most of them just say, I follow Shastra. And we can see. You know, the rest of the world can care less about Shastra. In India, Shastra is still somewhere there. But who really follows Shastra in India? Only very few people. Only very few people know what Shastra is. So Lord Chaitanya says, out of those who perfectly follow Shastra, the majority, the vast majority, millions of them, are all following of Karmakanda. They really want to follow Shastra for some material benefit. There is no other purpose in their following whatsoever. They just want some material selfish gain, and therefore they follow Shastra. They just grossly materialistic. Even though they are so-called religious people, ultimately, in essence, they are materialists. And he says that out of millions and millions, koti, he says, out of many, many millions of such karmis or materialists who follow Shastra, there is hardly one jnani who knows the essence of Shastra, who knows that the Shastra actually teaches the spiritual teaching, that ultimately the purpose of Shastra is to obtain the spiritual knowledge. And he says, out of millions of jnanis, hardly one is mukta, the one who really achieved liberation. And out of millions and millions of these muktas, there is hardly one a pure devotee. He says, it's extremely rare. Even if you follow Shastra, even though in the Shastras it's so clearly established that bhakti is the goal of life, again and again it is repeated that everything else is futile, still people somehow or other get bewildered. So the main point of this description is, first of all, to show that bhakti is the most rare and the most precious achievement of human life, the most essential goal of human life. But then, after describing how rare it is, being the essential goal, Lord Chaitanya wants to explain how this goal can be achieved. It's rare, there is no doubt about it. But he wants to explain the path to this goal. Basically, what he is attempting to do, and what Srila Rupa Goswami so beautifully explained in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is to explain the path in the realm where there is no path. When Srimad Bhagavatam explains bhakti, usually in the explanation of the path of bhakti, Srimad Bhagavatam, like for example, when Krishna talks to Uddhava, and when Krishna explains to Uddhava how bhakti can be achieved, he uses the very enigmatic Sanskrit word yadricha. Yadricha means somehow or other. Somehow or other one gets faith, and somehow or other one gets bhakti. And somehow or other means, you know, means somehow or other. It means you cannot do anything to achieve it. Basically, when the bhakti is explained, it is explained in a very mysterious way. It's a rare strike of good fortune. You know, you get good fortune, and this good fortune is coming to you, and just because of this good fortune, you get bhakti. And that's it. So what is there remained for us to do? If we really know that the bhakti is the goal, if we know that this is the goal, we need to have means to achieve this goal. We need to have real means which we have to do to feel good about it at least. And, you know, usually it is described that somehow or other you just wait when the bhakti descends upon your heart. But in reality, the secret of sadhana, or specific systematic actions which you should do to achieve bhakti, is also hidden in the Shastras. And the essence of teaching of Sriman Mahaprabhu to Srila Rupa Goswami is to explain this secret. How bhakti, which is not achievable by our endeavors, can still be achieved by endeavors. Because what is sadhana? Sadhana is our own endeavors, right? Can bhakti be achieved by endeavors? No. Bhakti, by definition, is ahaituki. Ahaituki means causeless. Causeless means I cannot do anything to achieve it. So, Mahaprabhu is explaining how to achieve something which is not achievable by material means. How to get causeless mercy of Krishna through the performance of bhakti. And he very beautifully establishes and explains this mystery. He basically says that the whole progress of bhakti starts when we meet with devotee. He says, Bhagyavan Jiva. If Jiva is very fortunate, he meets a pure devotee. And this is the starting point of his bhakti. There is no other way to achieve bhakti. There is not any other way than to meet with a pure devotee. And this is a strike of our good fortune. When sometimes devotees ask Srila Prabhupada what pious karma they have created in the past to be able to perform bhakti, Srila Prabhupada looked at them and said, you have no pious credit whatsoever. It's a very encouraging statement for all of us. He says, I created your good karma. I created your good fortune. And actually Srila Prabhupada himself explains in Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that the only purpose of a pure devotee to come to this world is to create the good fortune for all living beings. The only purpose of the pure devotee is to tread this path, this earth, is to somehow or other give other people opportunity to serve them. And Prabhupada explains that even by seeing pure devotee, you serve pure devotee. So he is also very strongly speaking in this regard in the purport to this verse which we read today, that our whole progress of devotional service entirely depends on our relationship with a pure devotee. A pure devotee comes and he gives us this good fortune. And this good fortune is the bija of Bhakti Lata. From the very beginning, bhakti is transcendental and it's coming from the transcendental source. And this transcendental source is the heart of a pure devotee. So from the heart of a pure devotee, we get this bija, seed of pure devotional service. And later on, our feeble endeavors to cultivate this seed is ultimately only not to harm this seed which is sown in our heart by a pure devotee. The seed of bhakti, of bhakti lata bija, is faith. Prabhupada once, sometimes people get bewildered and try to get some esoteric explanation, what is this bhakti lata bija? Sometimes they ask, you know, whether I have bhakti lata bija or not. You know, after 15 years of practicing devotional service, they ask this, you know, very genius question. Whether I have the seed or not. Whether my spiritual master gave me the seed or not. Prabhupada explains it very simply. He says, when you get the faith which enables you to follow regulative principles, it means you get the seed. Otherwise, you know, where in the world we can have this strange idea to follow four regulative principles? It's a very strange idea indeed. You know? And it's coming from the pure heart of a pure devotee who gives us the face. And the symptom of this face is that we start cultivating bhakti by trying to follow regulative principles and chanting the holy name. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proceeds to say that when this seed of devotional service is sown in our heart, then it sprouts. And the only thing which we have to do is to water it with the water of Shravanam and Kirtan. Actually, devotional service is very simple. Prabhupada was a great proponent of this principle of simplicity of devotional service. Sometimes we being complicated ourselves are trying to complicate this whole process. Prabhupada, once I heard his lecture where he explains how simple devotional service is. He says, you get shraddha from a pure devotee, you meet with a pure devotee, you get some shraddha. And then, after that, sadhu sangha, you associate with pure devotee, you hear him for a few days. And then after hearing from for a few days, you get initiation, diksha, and bhajana kriya starts. And then he says, anartha nivritti. And he says, what is anartha nivritti? Anartha nivritti, he says, what is anartha? Anartha means meat eating, intoxication, gambling. So when you gave it up, you achieved anartha. Anartha nivritti, sorry. So sometimes we also ponder whether we achieved this anartha nivritti. Prabhupada says, when you follow four regulative principles, all your anarthas are finished. Because this is what anartha. And then he says, nishtha, nishtha is very simple. You come to mangalarati every day, this is nishtha. That's it. What else do you need to be able to say that I have nishtha? Nishtha means you follow sadhana bhakti and do it in a simple way. And then ruchi, ruchi means, you feel good. And when the kirtan is there, it's ruchi. It's not something mysterious. you really feel good when the kirtan is going on, it's ruchi. And when you jump, like Devamrita Maharaj during kirtan, this is asakti and bhava. Prem is next door. But really, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains the process of devotional service to Srila Rupa Goswami, he does explain it in a very simple terms. He says that the only thing which you have to do is not complicated. You just have to water the little sprout of your bhakti lata within your heart by hearing and by kirtanam, by chanting the holy name. And then you have to guard against the offenses. And he doesn't even elaborate about offenses. He says there is basically one offense. He doesn't mention anything else. He says there is one offense, which is mad elephant offense, if you offend Vaishnavas. And if you offend Vaishnavas, you're finished. Your bhakti lata is totally finished. But if you don't do this, if you avoid this, and if you see the little sprouts of other unwanted desires, you just pluck them out and continue go on watering the sprout of your bhakti, and ultimately it will reach Vaikuntha. Not only it will reach Vaikuntha, it will cross beyond Vaikuntha, and it will reach the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And because it's lata, because it's how you call it? Creeper. Because it's creeper, it will take the shelter of lotus feet, the tree of lotus feet of Krishna. And only when it reaches the lotus feet of Krishna, it bears the fruit. This is a very essential point of his teaching, is that ultimately the fruit of bhakti, even though it depends on our cultivation, as it is said here, Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadhyana Vritam Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. Although it depends on our cultivation of devotional service and the purity of our mood, how we cultivate devotional service, ultimately the fruit of devotional service is given by Krishna. This is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu resolves this paradox, that bhakti is not coming as a result of our endeavors. Still, we have to do our endeavors, and our endeavors is already in the realm of bhakti. From the very beginning, sadhana bhakti, starting with shraddha, little shraddha within our heart, is bhakti. And when we cultivate bhakti, it's in the realm of bhakti. It's not something, bhakti is only coming from bhakti. So we get shraddha from the heart of a pure devotee, and there our endeavors is not the cause of bhakti, but it is the activity within the realm of bhakti. And that's why ultimately, because we are from the very beginning acting in the pure devotional service, we get the fruit of pure devotional service, which is Krishna prema. Sometimes, again, devotees are being confused whether they are pure devotees or not. Once in Australia, Prabhupada said, by looking at his disciples, he said, all my disciples are pure devotees. And somebody had some doubt at this point. He said, Prabhupada, he was a little uncomfortable. He said, Prabhupada, don't you know what we did before we joined Krishna consciousness? You know, by calling us a pure devotees, you know, giving us a very high pedestal. You know, Prabhupada said, it doesn't matter. Your main qualification is that when you heard the sound of the holy name, you start running on the sound of the holy name. And that's why you're pure devotees. And Srila Rupa Goswami, basically, he gives this definition of pure devotional service or Uttama Bhakti for all the stages. It's not that the pure devotee is only on the stage of, you know, prema. No. Even when you get shraddha, if you get the shraddha from the pure source, you're a pure devotee. And if you are trying to cultivate this devotional service in a proper manner under the instruction of a pure devotee, you're a pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada, in this purport, he again and again stresses this point that this anushilanam, Krishna anushilanam, anukulyana Krishna anushilanam, this svarupa lakshanam of pure devotional service described in this verse of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is entirely dependent on the instructions of a pure devotee. We get bhakti or seed of bhakti from the heart of a pure devotee in the form of shraddha. But then, how do we know what is pleasing to Krishna? Anukulyana Krishna anushilanam. We have to do something in relationship to Krishna. And anu means it's coming through the cyclic succession. Krishna anushilanam. Shilanam means our own endeavors. But again, from the very beginning, from the starting points, this endeavors is bhakti. This endeavors is not some preparations. This endeavors is already in the realm of pure bhakti. But to be pure, it has to be connected with Krishna. How it is connected with Krishna? Krishna anushilanam. Through this prefix of anu. And anu signifies parampara. This is how you get the purity and the understanding how to follow or how to cultivate bhakti. Because so many angas of bhakti are being delineated by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. One of them is serving the cows. You know, and so many people, they're serving the cows. Not only here in India, in Russia also, there are so many cow farms. Does it mean that they develop bhakti? Not really. Or sometimes also people, they don't understand this, how it is connected. So what is essential in this definition of pure devotional service, which is the essence of the teachings of Sriman Mahaprabhu to Rupa Goswami, is this connection with the pure devotional service through the pure devotee. Krishna anushilam anukulyena. And Prabhupada, while explaining this, he doesn't go into little esoteric details of this verse, because there are so many interesting points of this verse. But he goes directly to the root of this verse. He says, the purity of our devotional service. And the point and the distinguishing feature of our sampradaya is the purity of devotional service. Bhakti is there. Bhakti is there in Sri Sampradaya, bhakti is there in Madhva Sampradaya, in Nimbarka Sampradaya, everywhere. But nowhere is this scientific analysis what makes our bhakti pure. And this definition of pure bhakti is given here in this verse, Anyabhilashatashunyam Jnana Karma Dhyanavritam. And Prabhupada, while explaining this verse again, gives the essence of the essence of this verse, which is connection with a pure devotee and following the instructions of a pure devotee. And what is pure devotee? is supposed to do. He says the pure devotee, his only business is to spread Krishna consciousness. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this world to spread Krishna consciousness. As he gave these teachings to Srila Rupa Goswami, to empower him to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, again, to explain this path of Krishna consciousness, to explain the sadhana of Krishna consciousness, to make it accessible for all of us. In the similar way, the business of any pure devotee is just to spread Krishna consciousness. And what is our business? Those who are maybe not so pure in heart, our business is just to follow him. Our business is just to serve him. He says, this is the perfection. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasada, yasya prasadat nagatih kutoti. You just serve the pure devotee, and then you can be sure that the mercy of Krishna will come to you. Sometimes we have these doubts, you know, whether I get the mercy of Krishna or not. You know, whether 16 rounds is enough or not. Maybe I should do something really far out to achieve the mercy of Krishna. How can I achieve the mercy of Krishna without having my Siddha Swarup? You know, and better get the Siddha Swarup, this and that. So many things are there. But Srila Rupa Goswami, by giving the synopsis of pure devotional service, he explains it very clearly. You do something which is clear, which is pleasing to Krishna. This is the essence, this is Swarupa Lakshana of pure devotional service. Do something which is pleasing. How do you know what is pleasing to Krishna? How in the world you can know what is pleasing to Krishna? There is only one way to know what is pleasing to Krishna. Just to ask his pure devotee. And he will tell you, this is pleasing, this is not pleasing. He will tell you that to get Siddha Swarupa from somebody who doesn't know what is his Siddha Swarupa is not pleasing to Krishna. It's not really pleasing. It's not the process. It's not what you're supposed to do. What you are supposed to do, you are supposed to serve the instructions of somebody who knows what is pleasing to Krishna. And then you can be sure that your devotional service remains pure, your practice remains pure. And later on, after describing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he explains how this purity of the heart, which is achieved through our humble endeavors to please a pure devotee, how it increases day by day through our practice of devotional service, and by increasing in our heart, it intensifies and takes the shape of pure love. He explains all the stages of pure love, of sneha, and then mana, and then pranaya, and then raga, nurag, bhava, and ultimately mahabhava. He goes to the highest possible realms of devotional service. But all these high stages of devotional service are based on a very simple foundation. And the simple foundation, the simplicity of this foundation, we should never lose from our sight. This is the pleasure of a pure devotee whose only business is to spread the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead all over the world. And our role in this is to serve him in his endeavors. And that's the essence of the teachings of Sriman Mahaprabhu to Srila Rupa Goswami. He explains all these different rasas, and there is no time to do this. My time is already over. But if we want to know the essence of the essence, and this verse is the essence of the essence, but then Prabhupada explains, by commenting on this verse and explaining the essence of the essence, he explains the essence of the essence of the essence. And the essence of the essence of the essence is the pleasure of a pure devotee, from whom we got the seed of bhakti, from whom we got the shraddha in the form of faith, of trust in the path of devotional service. We got this determination or trust that we should follow this path of devotional service from Srila Prabhupada. And if we want to achieve any success, if we want to get any mercy of Krishna, it entirely depends on our success in pleasing Srila Prabhupada and his representatives. And this is the foundation of the success of Krishna Consciousness Movement, as Srila Prabhupada explains in this purport. I guess I have to finish now, my time is over. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Is there any time for questions? Yeah?
We see sometimes devotees, when they come to Vrindavan, they look for something higher than what Srila Prabhupada said.
Of course.
And Srila Prabhupada gave pure faith. So it depends on the devotees how they receive. We're getting so much and we're not able to receive or whatever. We're not able to have everything that we are actually needing for bhakti, but it seems to me that still there's something missing in our side, and that's why devotees are looking for something higher.
What is missing? Actually, it is also explained here by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srila Rupa Goswami. He explains very clearly that bhakti is simple. The seed is there, you water it by Shravanam and Kirtanam, and it will sprout and it will grow. Then there will be obstacles. And these obstacles, he explains, this is Nisidachar and Kutinati and Jivahimsa and Labha and Puja and Pratishta, and so many other obstacles are there. And we stumble over these obstacles. And instead of pointing out to ourselves that this is our fault and we are not able to uproot these unwanted desires from our heart, we try to find faults in the teachings of Srila Prabhupada or in the teachings of his representative or in his presentation, and we say, you know, there's somebody who will explain to me how I should do it. The fault is ours. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very clearly says, this is the fault. You see the unwanted desires within your heart. But somehow or other, we're not bold enough and not honest enough to approve these desires. And this is the hard part. This is the painful part. This is what is missing from our part. But then, as a result of this, because we're not careful enough to uproot all these desires, because we are not careful enough in our practice, because we are not pure enough in our practice of devotional service, we don't achieve these results. We don't get sneha or mana or pranaya or raga or anuraga or mahabhava, and we say, oh, yeah, this is because our guru is not qualified to give me the pure devotional service. But we are not doing this, and this is what is missing, and therefore people are trying to look, to shop around, you know, and you can find, you know, Raganuga Bhakti in every shop on Loy Bazaar, they sell it there, together with some other goods. If you are ready to pay, they will sell it, no problem. And you get bewildered ultimately, and you lose the simplicity. Again, when Srila Rupa Goswami explains it, it's simple. When Sriman Mahaprabhu explains it, it's even more simple. And it is simple. He doesn't go into all these esoteric details. It's nice, but it, ultimately, it's all bewildering unless you have the firm foundation within your heart and the simplicity of devotional service. If this foundation is there, everything else is nice. It's beautiful, it's decoration of your devotional service. If you only have decorations but don't have foundation, try to build a house and there's no foundation, only decorations are hanging there. It doesn't work. You will end up creating a mess. So people, they don't have this simplicity, and therefore they're trying to. And they're lazy to practice properly the painful part of devotional service, which is uprooting all these unwanted desires. Yes.
One part which you said our said that bhakti is there in other sampradayas also, you name Sri Sampradaya,
yeah.
But our purity of our devotional service is because of our connection with your guru.
What I meant to say is that the trademark of our sampradaya is the scientific analysis how bhakti can become contaminated. Whereas in other sampradayas, even though the teachings of bhakti is there, it's not being described in the so clearly, so to speak. Like, if you go to Sri Sampradaya, in Sri Sampradaya, bhakti is not even regarded so highly. What we call bhakti, they call prapanna or surrender. And they say bhakti is just some ceremonial worship. That's what they call bhakti. But of course, they do have pure bhakti there. But this distinction between pure bhakti and how pure bhakti can be adulterated is not so clearly explained in Sri Sampradaya. Or to speak about Madhava Sampradaya, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Udupi, he was not very pleased with their goal in life and with their practices, even though he appreciated their service to the deity of Udupi Krishna with love. Still, he said that the goal of life is not clearly established, sadhi is not clearly established, and sadhana is not clearly established. What Srila Rupa Goswami did, he took the ocean of the scriptures and he extracted from the ocean of the scriptures all these points. And he said, this is pure devotional service. Everything else outside of this is not pure devotional service. This is the goal of pure devotional service, love of Krishna. Because in other sampradayas, they don't even say that love of Krishna is the goal. Even in Sri Sampradaya, they say that mukti is the goal. Sri Sampradaya is very pure sampradaya, but they don't say that love is the goal. Mukti, liberation, is the goal. So the distinguishing feature of our sampradaya is that the goal is very clearly established. The means to this goal, or sadhana, is very clearly established. And how the means to this goal can be adulterated in the course of our imperfect performance of bhakti is also explained. What are the contaminations which can sneak in our practice of devotional service and how we have to guard against all these contaminations. It's not that I didn't mean to say that in other sampradayas there is no pure devotees. Of course there is. Of course, Sripad Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, great devotees of the Lord, they're pure devotees of the Lord. There's no doubt about it. But in their practice and in their understanding, not everything is so clearly established as was established by Rupa Goswami by the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hmm?
Isn't it that the misunderstanding which is there in the sampradaya, in the other sampradayas, isn't it due to the lack of teaching and lack of so much of training the devotees do? Because when things are not doing something.
Not necessarily. Not only, let's say, what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to say also is that the teachings is not entirely perfect. He gave the perfect teachings of pure bhakti in his teachings to Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami and some other of his associates. Where the pure emphasis on the pure bhakti is very clearly given. Whereas in other sampradayas, even though it is a bhakti sampradaya, and Sriman Mahaprabhu extracted something from there, the teachings is not entirely perfect. I feel a little difficult to speak about this because it may be seen as something presumptuous from our side. We have to be humble as Vaishnavas, and we hold a great respect towards Ramanujacharya, his teachings and everything. But you know, I was just there in Tirupati, and there were nice Ramanujacharya brahmanas, and they were chanting all kinds of mantras. But you know, something was missing there. There was no kirtan. And so many mantras were there, and so many rituals were there. But, you know, this very clear and simple goal, clearly established, and simple means to achieve this goal, are not there. You know, all these rituals are there. And it's nice for a change. But ultimately, it becomes little kind of mechanical, and it does not establish this religion of the heart. Bhakti is the religion of the heart, so firmly. And therefore we see that this adulteration of casteism is sneaking out in the Sampradaya. You know, even though originally it's not there, but we see in Madhva Sampradaya it's very much there. Only Brahmanas can practice bhakti, and only Brahmanas can achieve liberation. Everyone else cannot do this. No. Okay, good luck. But
is it correct to say that in our Sampradaya, one can only... Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Raja Bhakti.
Yeah.
And other...
That's also true, yeah. They gave Vaikuntha Bhakti. And that's true. This is an essential part of his teachings to Rupa Goswami, which I missed in my presentation. Because at one point he starts saying that there is this Aishwarya Gyan and there is this Madhurya Gyan. And he says ultimately, he doesn't say this, but he hints to this. He says that ultimately to practice pure Bhakti you have to relinquish this Aishwarya. And you have to follow Madhurya. And he gives so many examples from the Shastras where he explains how in Mathura even the pure bhakti is tinged with this Aishwarya. And this is not so pleasing to Krishna. Because ultimately we are concerned with the pleasure of Krishna. Anukulyena Krishna Anushini. And this is the Swarupa Lakshana of bhakti. And Krishna is not pleased with Aishwarya. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gives this example of Devaki and Vasudev. When Krishna killed Kamsa, they felt so much Aishwarya and so much awe and reverence. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna came to them after so much separation with them, feeling this Vatsalya Ras, feeling this, you know, love for them as the parents. And they started, you know, offering prayers. And he felt disgusted. He started crying. He said, "What is this? I didn't come to hear your prayers. I came to experience your love." And then they somehow or other, they came to their senses. So this is there. This is also an essential part of the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa Goswami. Thank you very much for pointing it out. Anyway, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Rupa Goswami ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Gaura Premanande.